Okay, tonight's study is chapter 9. The trumpets continue to bring war, but now woe is going to be added to the war. Trumpets 5 and 6 move matters on earth along to the point where Satan's man is left undisputed master of the globe. He's going to be over it all for just a little season, though. And there's only a little season in this time. It's a 7-year period. What we're studying tonight begins the last 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years of 360-day years. Men are brainwashed by the beast. The Antichrist is called the beast. We're going to be introduced to these figures in a little while. But the Antichrist is called the beast. We are, people on earth are going to be brainwashed by him. And they are psychologically prepared to embrace the ultimate lie. The beast consolidates his position in the west, and he deals decisively with the great foe to the north. If you remember when we started, the great foe to the north is Russia, and the great foe to the north had already made a move against Israel, and those that had come to battle, most of them wound up dead. But this personage is going to have to deal with all that, deal with Israel and their dislike for the Muslims, deal with their with the Muslims and the Arabs with their dislike for Israel. So he brings to heal for just a while the awakened billions of the East. And we're going to talk about that a little more in just a little while. At the first 3.5 years, he pretends to be a friend to a lot of people. When we get to this part, and we're going to learn more about him as we go on, but when he gets to this point in the tribulation, he ceases all pretense. And he sets himself up as the world's God. And we're going to discuss how that happens. First, he has a great delusion. And then he comes with a great satanic lie and blasphemy against God and everything that God stands for, and for the acceptance of a place where no repentance can be found. He tries leading people into this. Men, like Esau did a long time ago, will barter their birthrights for a piece of what Satan is offering to the peoples of the world at that time. The world, as we can see it, is already being prepared for this personage. We are living in a time when scientific enlightenment is at its zenith. Knowledge is increased, as Daniel promises it would be. I don't know if it was here or in my Sunday school class, but I'll reiterate. Knowledge is growing at a rate of doubling every 5 years. Communication, the abilities for communication, doubles every 2 years. And they expect that to continue. If you go buy a computer today, it is obsolete by the time you put it on your shelf. That's how fast knowledge is growing. During this time of the great education of men and women, when I use the word men, I mean women also, the education that we're all getting, that we are, the people, are turning to the occult for entertainment and enlightenment. That just happens to be way it is every year. Hundreds of books are published dealing with demonism, witchcraft, magic, spiritualism, ghost, and prophecy. In fact, you can turn the TV on and go to one station, and they are looking for ghosts. In fact, they think they can record noise from ghosts. That's common. It's grabbed hold so well that it's even made primetime TV that they're trying to do this. Soothsayers, prophets, astrologers, fortune tellers, everywhere. And people are listening to them. So the groundwork is being laid for an enormous increase in demon activity that's soon to burst upon the world. When the blowing of the fifth trumpet happens, all of that is going to be made much easier because men have been preconditioned to accept that. And we're going to start in chapter 5, verse 1. And the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star falling from heaven to earth, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. Some of you have the King James Version, and it says, I saw a star fall. That is not so. It is a fallen star, and he sees this fallen star. Who is the fallen star? That's Satan. We know who the fallen star is. John didn't see him fall. He saw the star that had fallen, is really what it means. And he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. That's another word that's translated wrong into our English. The Greek is abyss. He had the key to the abyss. There's a long shaft that apparently goes down to the abyss. Now, I don't know if it's true or not, but I'm going to tell you what I believe about where hell is. And they're not in hell. But this, just a little aside, I'm going to tell you where I think hell is. When we have a volcano, I think we see part of hell bubbling out of the earth. I believe hell is the center of the earth. It is just a molten pool of liquid fire that's the center of the earth. God doesn't tell us where hell is. That's my feeling of where it is. God doesn't tell us where hell is, just that it is. It's a literal place. It exists. What we see here is this abyss that is somewhere on this earth, and there's a long shaft going down to it. And it says that Satan was given the key. Now, in prophecy and in fact, in all of the Bible, giving the key to something isn't a literal key. It is power and authority is what the key represents. Power and authority. So he was given the key to the abyss. It's called a bottomless pit in the King James, but it's the abyss. I believe at one time this abyss was divided into two places. I think it's the same thing that is spoken of in Hebrews, the Sheol, and in Greek as Hades. When Abraham and Lazarus were there, you could see that there was a distinct division between the two places. When Jesus went into the center of into the earth at his crucifixion, he led forth, Ephesians 4:8 said he led forth captivity and brought him out of captivity, led forth captives out of captivity. So this is a place that apparently God had the power over, and now through his permissive will, he's given that power to Satan to let these demons come out of this abyss. The demons are incarcerated. And if you read, there's a couple of places, Luke 8, in fact, we can read Luke 8, 30 through 31. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. So these legions, apparently it was a place where the worst demons, where the most gross demons were bound up. And they were held there. And legion was a many demons, and they did not want to go into the abyss. They asked Christ not to send them into the abyss. They didn't want to go there. These demons now are going to be turned loose on the world. These demons are infernal. Look at 9, 2, and 3. He opened the shaft of the bottomless pits, long shaft leading down to it. He opened the shaft of the abyss, and from the shaft rose smoke, like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft. And that's why I say it reminds me of a volcano. What happens when a volcano erupts? As smoke comes out, and it, when Mount St. Helens blew, it turned that area dark for a long time. Then from the smoke came locusts on the earth, and they were given power like the power of scorpions of the earth. They are not ordinary locusts. They are supernatural locusts. And John is looking at, and he has to use the language of the time he's in. He has no other language. And these demons are insatiable. Ordinary locusts descend upon the earth in dense clouds and devour every green thing in sight. In fact, in 1951, 1952, locusts descended on Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, and Jordan. And they cleaned the earth. Cleaned it. Nothing but desert left. Just absolutely took every growing thing. Devoured it across hundreds of thousands of square miles. Locusts eat grain, but these are not permitted to eat, as we'll read in verse 4. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any green plant or any tree, but only those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Everyone that accepts Christ during that period of time is going to get a seal, some kind of seal on their forehead. And these demons are not allowed to harm these people that have the seal of God. Those that during tribulation have accepted Christ as Savior will not be able to be harmed. Their hunger is for the unregenerate, godless, Christ-rejecting men and women. And they are intolerable. These demon locusts inflict a sting that produces the most intolerable anguish possible. Today, a locust sting, it usually doesn't kill. The sting is usually not fatal, but it produces the most intense pain of any of the stinging beasts that we now have. I have been stung by a locust or a scorpion at one time. It looks kind of like, I think most of you know, we have them around here, what the scorpion looks like. And it burned for days. And it got me on the thumb, and a pile of firewood I had outside. That's one of the reasons I put a gas burning log in my fireplace instead of wood, because these things like to get in there. And my thumb turned black where it had stung me. And that thing burned for days and days before it finally went away. The sting of these locusts produces anguish of mind and spirit almost beyond endurance. The agony that they produce is so great that men who normally flee from death will scream for death to come and end their miseries. They were really harmed. 9, 5, and 6. They were allowed to torment them for 5 months. 5 months is the usual lifespan of a natural locust. So these locusts were able to torment men for 5 months, but not to kill them, couldn't kill them, and their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings someone. Intense torment. And in those days, people will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. They will try committing suicide. They will not be allowed to. They will try anything to die. People that are afraid of death will be begging for death. For 5 months, this goes on. These beasts, these locusts that are released, are intrepid. The horse is a war horse. Usually when you see a horse released, it's a war horse. It's a symbol of defiance. They are invincible. They conquer all that's in their path. In appearance, the locusts were like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were what looked like crowns of gold. Their faces were like human faces, their hair like woman's hair, and their teeth like lion's teeth. Have any of you read the late, great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey? It was produced, it was brought out in the 1980s. Hal Lindsey's still on the air. He's a great one for telling about what's going to happen in the end time. Hal's been one of the leaders in that. But he says that he believes these things you're looking at are helicopters. You've heard that? That they're helicopters. Well, I don't believe they are. Now, I believe that these demons may use the helicopters. I don't know about that. But I don't believe these are men driving helicopters. I don't believe that. I believe these are demons. It says they came out of that bottomless pit, it's called in King James, the abyss, and they were demons that had a ruler over them. Not Satan, we'll look at that in just a minute, but they have a ruler over them. They're not able to kill. Anybody that was in Vietnam knows that a helicopter is very capable of killing. These were not allowed to kill. They are invincible. They are intelligent. A man's face is what you see. That is trying to tell us, I believe, that they are intelligent beings. They are insidious, which means treacherous or crafty. And the long hair on these demons suggests that there is something horribly and seductively attractive about them. You know, a woman's beauty is in her hair. Used to be. Now they cut it so short you don't know. But used to be, a woman's beauty was in her hair. They have hair. And so and they are unrelenting. They will rend. They will tear. The teeth of a lion and inflicts a terrible wound, and even when the bite does not kill, it's kind of like an alligator biting you, they bite you, the bacteria in their mouth will cause you a lot of problems. The wound doesn't want to heal, and even after you think it's healed, sometimes later it will open up again and give you a lot more trouble. So that's where Verse 8, their teeth like lion's teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and I think this is where they get that it could be helicopters. And the noise of their wings was like the noise of many chariots with horses rushing into battle. Helicopters make a lot of noise, a lot of thrashing of wings. And so, like I say, if it is helicopters they're using, that's possible, but these are demons. They come from the abyss, and they are demons. They'd be demons driving these helicopters. I don't believe it's helicopters. I believe it is what John says they are. John doesn't have the words to write what they actually are. This was 2,000 years ago. How would you feel 2,000 years ago trying to describe some of the things of war? And as we go further through this study, we're going to see things that we can identify, I believe, that we can say, even in chapter 9, I believe we're going to get to the place where we can say that we believe that these are certain pieces of war equipment. But I don't believe these happen to be. They are insensitive, these locusts. They don't care about the suffering that they're creating. They don't listen to the cries or the agonies of the victims. They are unmoved by any of that. They are injurious. They have been made to be like scorpions with their tails. And when the Holy Spirit repeats a detail, and this is one of the details He repeats, when He repeats a detail, that within a few lines of where He said it before, it is because that detail is important. When they repeat a detail, it's because the detail is important. And the fact is here, it's emphasized because these loathsome spirits have a single aim, that's to injure human beings. Their aim is to injure, not to kill, to injure. Make torment, cause you to be tormented. For many years, men have spurned the Holy Spirit, have spurned anything of God. Now God is bringing out things to torment men. And the goal is, as it has been from the beginning, is to cause man to turn to God. That's what the idea is. They are indivisible. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 30:27, the locusts have no king, but these have a king. Verse 9:11, they have as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit or the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek, Apollyon. So it's going to affect Greek and Jew, Gentile and Jew alike. Not going to have any problem with making a choice between the two, because He's not going to make a choice. He's going to, the torment is going to be for all. His name is given, and in my Bible it says that these two words mean destruction and destroyer. That's what these two words mean. And after that happens, John says, the first woe has passed. Behold, two woes are still to come. Now this begins the middle of the tribulation, or the last half of the tribulation is called the Great Tribulation. This lasts for 5 months. And then something else is going to happen. Then the sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who were bound at the great river Euphrates. These four angels, I believe, are bad angels. I believe God's had them in control. The Euphrates River divides the east from the west. There is prayer ascending, and it's ascending from the altar. This is the altar where the prayers from the martyrs was going up by this altar. And the prayers of the saints on earth are being answered. Maybe not the way they expected them to be answered, but they are being answered just the same. He blows the trumpet, and He gives the command to release the four angels bound at the river Euphrates. And what do we know about the Euphrates? The Garden of Eden was located on or close to the head of the Euphrates River. The sin of man began in the Euphrates area. The first murder was committed there. the first war was fought there. This is where the flood began. This is where the Tower of Babel was erected. This is where the Babylonians took the Israelites when they captured them at the fall of Judah. They took them to this same area. Babylon was the fountainhead of idolatry. And here is the final surge of sin on earth during the Great Tribulation. I have some maps that I'm going to pass out that shows the promised land as given by God to the children of Israel. If you'll pass these out, Ken, on this side. Could you, Brother Philip, pass these out? And the ones that's left over, if you just leave them laying in the back, I'll pick them up. Because I made a lot of them just to be sure. There's plenty for everyone to have one. So Israel does not have control of the land that's on that map today. Israel's not in control of that land. In the millennium, Israel will have control of that land. In eternity, Israel will have control of this land. Today, Israel does not and has not for thousands of years. But this is the land God gave to Israel. If you notice, Euphrates River is the east border of this land. Euphrates River. Very important river in God's economy, the Euphrates River. What does the Euphrates divide? East from the west, as I said. But it divides China, India, those countries in there, from the rest of the world. How much of the population of the world is in those areas? Over half the population of the world is in that area. I'm looking for where I wrote it down here. Napoleon made a comment. See where I put it. Okay, here it is. Napoleon made a comment, China is a sleeping giant, and God pity the generation that wakes her up. Well, folks, guess what? We have awakened China. China is alive and well and very much awake today. I think those four angels that we're talking about are still in place, holding China back. But when we get to this part of the tribulation period, and those are four bad angels, those are not good angels, those are four evil angels, they are going to be held back till God says to move. So the four angels who have been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, and the year, the four angels were prepared for a specific time in history. The day, the month, and the year, and the hour, the specific time. God has a time picked. We don't know it. Only He does. But there is a specific time, and they're going to be released. You see how many people are going to be killed when they're released? A third of mankind. How many have been killed up to this point? One fourth of mankind. There's approximately 7 billion people on the earth today, give or take a few hundred million here and there. But 7 billion, if a quarter of those were killed, be 1.75 billion, right? That leaves you 5 billion, a little bit more. Let's say 5 billion. if a quarter of the, and then a third of those are going to be killed. That's another 1¾ billion. After these two woes, the world's population is going to be down to about 3.5 billion. Still a lot of people. Not near what it was. But they held up everything. And then those angels are removed. And then they had a troop coming across. The number of mounted troops was twice 10,000 times 10,000. John couldn't count them. He said, I heard their number. He was told their number. How many is that? 200 million troops. Today, China brags that they can field an army of 200 million men. China says that. They have a horse army. But they brag that they can fulfill, they can field that kind of army. Even if we were to take care of 3.5 billion people, China still has, with India, would still have the wherewithal to put 200 million men. Notice something else as we read about that. They have this 200 million men now that are coming. And this is how I saw the horses in my vision. Now, John's looking out and he sees the horses and my vision and those who rode them. They wore breastplates the color of fire and of sapphire, and the actual Greek word that's used here is hyacinth, and of sulfur, and the heads of the horses were like lions' heads, and fire and smoke and sulfur came out of their mouths. Now then, I think we can look at that and say, we know what piece of armament that is. Kind of sounds like a tank, doesn't it? Coming across there, fire comes out of its mouth, comes out of its tail, kind of like a tank. By these three plagues, the ones that we've read about in this one, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and smoke and sulfur coming out of their mouths. For the power of the horses, and I don't believe they're real horses, I believe the horses he sees, because it always is a vehicle of war. I believe they're tanks, could be airplanes, could be other things in it, but I believe it's the armament of war that we now use. For the power of the horses is in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents with heads, and by means of them they wound. They kill a third of the people of the world. But look at who they kill, and look at who is not killed. That 200 million are not killed. They kill others. Remember that. Because in chapter 16, we're going to see them again. And there's going to be another battle. This is not the Battle of Armageddon. This is something that happens during this period of time that God brings on the inhabitants of the world. And He's going to tell us why He's doing that. John's going to tell us. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands nor give up worshiping demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood which cannot see or hear or walk. Why did God take Israel down? Why did Israel go into captivity? He used the same words because they want to worship those things made with their own hands out of silver and gold and wood. Israel worshipped idols. Israel went into captivity. Been in captivity for a long time. Are now out of captivity, but they don't have the land. As I showed you on that map, they don't have the land they once had. God said the reason this is happening because they did not repent of the works of their hands nor give up worshiping demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood which cannot see or hear or walk. nor did they repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. That word sorceries, that word in the Greek is pharmakeion. And I think David Ellis could probably tell us what that means. Pharmacy. That's where our word pharmacy comes from. And what do we get from pharmacies? Drugs. Drugs. I think that's going to be a great thing during the tribulation. It already is. We don't have to wait for the tribulation, but it's going to be something that's going to be worshipped. They're going to use drugs in the religion. It's going to be something that's pervasive. There's going to be a regular drug culture during this time. So the word is sorceries, when I first read it, I thought, a long time ago, I used to think that this is someone wanting to get into witchcraft. And then I started reading these guys that wrote about prophecy, and I found out they put a whole lot more study in than I have, so I'm just taking what they studied and came up with. Sorceries is a Greek, is the word that we translate for pharmacy. Drug stores. Remember that? That's older folks do. That's what we used to call them, right? Drug stores. Back in the day, they were drugs. We go to a drug store to get. We never went to a pharmacy. We went to a drug store. That's true. Young people like David probably didn't hear of drug stores, but we did. The drugs will enable them to bear all the torment of the day. The drugs will make it, because what do drugs do? They take you somewhere else. They put you in a different frame of mind. You don't feel a lot of the things that happen to you. They're going to take the drugs, and it's going to get them out of their misery. It doesn't really end the misery. They just don't feel the misery. It's still going to be happening to them. Every time they wake up from one of their drug highs, they're going to be in the same place they were. But the drugs are going to help them get through it. Because they're not going to die until these war machines start moving. But the torments themselves are not killing. God's preventing them from being killed. So they will resort to anything and everything to escape the torment that God has unleashed on them. Keep those maps I gave you. We will use them later as we get further in. We will be looking some at Daniel. We'll be looking at the beast. We'll be looking at the governments. And so these maps will come into play later. Any comments? Any questions? This 45 minutes seems to go awful quick. Any comments? Any questions? Somebody usually has at least one question.